You're tuned in to Agriculture Today. We're glad to have you aboard once again. On this opening segment, we want to bring up a topic that is highly important to producers, to be sure, when it comes to tax management, known as stepped-up basis in regard to the value of agricultural property and the tax liabilities that are associated with that basis level. When it comes to, for example, land transactions, a new analysis out of K-State in cooperation with Texas A&M University allows producers to get a better handle on the stepped-up basis levels for that property. And we'll explain further here with our guests. Along with us, once again, is K-State Research and Extension agricultural economist Terry Griffin and an agricultural law specialist from Texas A&M, Tiffany Lashmit. They collaborated on this work, and Terry, we'll turn to you first of all and have you explain the absolute significance of understanding stepped-up basis.
Well, this project came about, we were getting phone calls from a lot of landowners, and they were asking the question of how can we get a just sort of a general idea of how much tax liability we'll have if we're going to sell land that we had inherited sometime in the past. And they're looking for, you know, at least a rough idea of this. So we came up with the idea that if we did not have information in the past about the appraised value of the farmland, but they knew what the value was today, let's say they got it appraised in 2017, then we could backwards calculate how much it was worth in the past, figure out how much would be a taxable amount. And so we developed these tables for each state, or at least the lower 48 states, and put this publication together. You know, and Tiffany and I have been working on other projects for the last few years, and you know, we came together not very long ago, a few weeks ago, and decided, hey, let's put this together in a written document. Let's do all the states, not just Kansas and Texas. So we did all the states we had data for and put this piece together. And it was uploaded December 1st.
And it's out and available for anyone to utilize it. Tiffany, let's step back a bit, though, and explain how capital gains works in a very basic sense. A lot of folks are familiar with it. Some might not be. But would you lend some clarity to that?
Absolutely. So a capital gains tax is just a tax that's levied basically on profits that someone makes when they sell a capital asset at a price higher than they bought it. So using land as an example, that's kind of the classic one in agriculture. If you bought property for, let's say, $100 an acre, and today maybe it's worth $1,000 an acre, then your basis for your capital gains tax would be $900. The $1,000 today minus the $100 that you purchased it at. So you would owe the percentage of capital gains tax then on that $900. So that's real basically kind of how the idea of capital gains tax works.
Mm-hmm. And then you factor in, though, the step up in basis, which lends some relief in these circumstances, correct?
Absolutely. Stepped up in basis is a huge benefit for agricultural landowners. So where that might come in, let's say that your grandparents bought the farm, you know, a century ago, and they paid $100 an acre. And then maybe you inherited the farm, let's just say 1950, and at that time it was worth $500 an acre. If you inherit the farm, you're allowed to take advantage of what's called stepped-up basis. And essentially what it does is your basis for capital gains tax gets to step up from that initial $100 to that $500, so basically the value of the land when you inherit it. And so that can make a big difference for your tax liability when we increase that basis to the value at inheritance. And trying to sort of get an idea of maybe what the land was worth at that time is exactly what Dr. Griffin was explaining that led us to come up with these tables and hopefully help people do some analysis.
So then to fill this void of knowledge about what that basis might have been at the time the land was acquired via inheritance, you have developed this information, and it is quite exhaustive. We obviously can't roll through all those tables in great detail here today. But how, Terry, did you get at these numbers?
I've been working on projects similar to this when I was in Illinois, Arkansas, now in Kansas. And every August, USDA NAS, National Ag Statistics Service, releases information about, from survey-based information about farmland values. And in all three of those states, we put a table together. And the idea was if you knew the value of land at any point in history, going back to 1950-ish, we could calculate the value for another year. And it's a roundabout estimate. It's not, you know, exact. It's not an appraisal, but it gives us an idea. Now, the problem is each of those three states I've worked in, the values change differently than the other states. Mm-hmm. And so what we did, we downloaded data from USDA for the 48 lower states. So each state has its own table. Like I said, the reason is the values change differently for each state. I'll give an example, and it's for Alabama. Alabama's alphabetically the first state. Mm-hmm. And then we randomly chose table 14, happens to be Kansas. I'll give an example for Kansas. And then randomly chose table 41, which is Texas.
Mm-hmm. This is all in the document online.
All three examples are spelled out in the document that's online.
Very good. Let's share in as basic a sense as we can here, Tiffany, an example of how this information might be utilized by the individual as they try to identify what kind of a step up in basis they can rely upon before they pull the trigger on a land transaction, for instance.
Sure. And again, when they can get those two numbers, the appraised value today minus the value of the property at inheritance, which would be the stepped-up basis, it's the difference between those numbers you multiply by the tax rate to kind of get the idea of your capital gains tax liability. So we actually walk folks through some examples in the fact sheet. One of those is Texas-specific. And in that example, if you assume that farmland was inherited in 2001, and then the assumption is you have an appraisal done today, and the land appraises at $1,800 an acre. So the question is, what was the land value in 2001? And that's where the table can come into play. So if you go to table 41, which is the table for Texas, you can see the value, the indexed value for 2001 and 2017. And you take the value of that index, and so that's from the table, for 2001, divide that number by the index value for 2017, and then you multiply that by the current dollar value per acre. So in this situation, it's 135.44 divided by 387.76, and then you multiply that by the 1800 per acre, and that gives you the estimated farmland value in 2001 of $629. And so to determine the taxable value then of the capital gains taxes on that property, you subtract the 1800 minus the 629, and that gives us 1171.
And Tiffany, there really hasn't been anything comprehensive like this that landowners, farmers, ranchers could lean on in the past, has there?
No, that's exactly right. And there have been some extension publications put out talking about capital gains and discussing stepped-up basis. But nothing that let folks sort of look at numbers that are publicly available and try to ballpark these amounts. And so our goal here really was to let people do some kind of some simple math using these tables and a tool that can be available for every state to allow them to figure out what that capital gains liability might be. Yeah. And one thing that's important to note, what we figure out here is the value on which the capital gains tax will be calculated. Keep in mind that the percentage tax rate that folks pay, that depends on your tax bracket and some other factors. And mm-hmm. So this just gives you the amount from which you will calculate your actual tax bill. The math that you do here doesn't give you an idea of what that amount you pay will be.
Right. A very important distinction there. And this is now available, Terry, on the agmanager.info website, correct?
It is. It went up on December 1st. And it's also will be available on Tiffany's blog post, and we're asking other universities to cross-post it to their websites as well, because you know, it's not just a Kansas or a Texas. You know, our neighbors listening in Nebraska and even Oklahoma will have information here as well, but you know, all 48 lower states are represented.
On agmanager.info, you're looking for estimating tax liability using stepped-up basis. Click on that link. It'll take you right to the article accompanying all those tables. And Tiffany, as Terry mentions, you have a blog spot that you're featuring this on as well. How might folks access that?
That's right. Here in the next week or so, it's going to be posted on the Texas Agriculture Law blog. You can just Google Texas Agriculture Law blog, or the other option, the website is agrilife.org/Texas Ag Law.
We can't overstate the importance of this information and this tool that folks can use as they're entering critical decisions on selling agricultural land and the capital gains liabilities that might accrue to that transaction. Congratulations to the both of you for crunching through a ton of numbers here to arrive at these helpful tables, and we do appreciate the time that you've spent with us today explaining what you've come up with. Thank you, Tiffany, for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And Terry, likewise. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Tiffany.
Along with Terry Griffin, agricultural economist, K-State Research and Extension, Tiffany Lashmit, who's an agricultural law specialist at Texas A&M University, and they teamed up to create this handy tool for figuring out what the likely capital gains tax liability might be in a ballpark sense using stepped-up basis figures. You're listening to Agriculture Today.